gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Gregory Meeks, Democrat of the great state of New York,
yes,
on the Celebrity Hotline today, along with Representative Elliot Engel, also of New York, not at the same time, different times.
That's right.
To talk
Engel
about
means
the
angel in German.
Why, thank you, Jim. Good Lord, Jim has hacked himself on the
yeah,
TV
yeah.
shaving
like
this morning.
Bleeding out of every...
I wasn't concentrating while shaving, so it's
wow.
I'm speaking about a bit while... Yeah, it's multitasking. And, you
know, I know it's radio,
slice my
but
face off.
I wish
but
we had a Steph cam, because that is impressive.
I might have to twit-pick this one.
Woo, not uh-huh. since I had that horrid bikini waxing accident have we seen such an injury before the show.
Yeah, you're like bleeding through your Band-Aid. That's
yeah.
kind of gross, dude.
Cool. It's like a slasher movie. All right. We will talk about the stimulus, the economy, and much more with our Congress critters on the Celebrity Hotline today. Mama, by the way, will be on MSNBC on The Ed Show today unless Michael Jackson dies again. And then... I got bumped the last time, but
yes,
I was supposed
to
be on The Ed Show today on MSNBC at, what is it, 3 p.m.?
Pacific,
yes.
6 p.m.
There
Eastern.
You are.
Yes.
All right. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. Bling, with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway
wow.
and up to 600 highway miles on a tank, Jim.
How
it's the
that?
Most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox based on GM compact crossover segment. Excludes other GM vehicles.
We hard ourselves some GM.
All right, the president talking about the economy yesterday.
We discussed the importance of Europe and the United States raising standards on financial institutions to ensure that a crisis like the one that's taken place will never happen again.
Because, you know, it's all connected, the economic crisis around the world,
that's
you
right.
know. Okay, we'll get into that.
You should read the article by Matt Taibbi in Rolling Stone.
I heard
about
that was great.
How Goldman Sachs has been behind every economic disaster we've faced in the 20th century.
Can I just say one thing about the economy is we should just listen to Paul Krugman and be done with it, I think.
Yeah.
Or Matt Taibbi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The vice president on health care reform yesterday.
Folks, reform is coming. It is on track. It is coming. We have tried for decades to fix a broken system. And we have never, in my entire tenure in public life, been this close.
Let's hope so. All right. And meanwhile, let's pause while I allow you to jam cotton or something into your ears because Caribou Barbie.
It talked again?
It talked again.
Still won't shut up.
It doesn't cost the critics
for the love of God.
Anything to file frivolous lawsuits or ethics violation charges. It costs our state such a great deal. Thousands of state staff hours, millions of dollars in public resources that aren't going to things that it should be going to, like soldiers' benefits and safer roads and teachers and troopers.
Okay. she quit for the troops. Is that
yeah.
it? That's the latest?
Maybe you shouldn't have been involved in ethics violations then.
Yeah.
You didn't want those costly examinations.
Yes. Okay, if I have to see one more shot of her wearing hip waders, I'm going to poke myself in the eye.
Although, Rachel Maddow looks pretty good in hip waders.
I heard she wore them the other night. That's hilarious.
I think Caribou Barbie right. should come out with a welder's mask next. At least you wouldn't be able to hear her.
Or see her.
Is there a... Could you
Alaska.
Get a... I wonder if there's a Caribou...
Alaska.
It's the only thing you can understand. I wonder if there's a Caribou Barbie blocker, much like you can get a Fox blocker for your TV. That'd be I could make some bank on that.
Yeah, you could.
Speaking of which, Bill writes, Steph, I admire Barbie's courage and fight in not providing a target as the first politician to ever suffer personal attacks and investigations. Imagine what would have happened if Bill Clinton had to face such things as jokes about his weight or his love life or his daughter's appearance or his wife's strength and had to endure investigations of his mail, his wife's death, his friend's death, his financial past, his romance, you know, things like that. Geez, he would have handled that and still been a successful president. Nobody could have done that, could they? She was right to quit. You betcha. I think there was a fair amount of snark in that email.
I think so. I dare say.
Yeah, I have to say, whatever you think of Bill Clinton, he always struck me as somebody with like 25 tacklers on him. He just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept going. All right. The calendar section, by the way, of StephanieMiller.com is chock-a-block with mama appearances.
That's right. Just go to StephanieMiller.com and look for the show section. And then when you're there, just go to the submenu calendar of events, and there's a whole list of things that you're going to be
at. Oh, my heavens. Saturday, July 25th, in a couple of weeks, I will be up in San Francisco.
I might be there for that one.
Oh, that is...
For Girls Night Out.
Oh, my God. Dreams can come true.
Uh-huh.
And then August 8th is the big Seattle Town Hall Forum that we do every year up there in Seattle with me and all my buddies, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Michael Loy, and Ron Reagan. We'll
That's
be
right.
doing the town hall. Hmm. So you can go and figure out how to get tickets for that because they go fast, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Oscar Mayer, the retired chairman of the Wisconsin-based meat processing company that bears his name, has died at the age of 95.
Aww. Oh, God. It's not a Denny Hester.
No. He was the third. I did not know this. It's like Menudo, the Oscar Mayer family. He was the third Oscar Mayer in the family.
Yes.
That founded Oscar Mayer Foods. We have, who do we have?
We have a documentary on the death of Oscar G. Mayer.
With the death of Oscar G. Mayer, a sequence of events was set in motion that would shock and horrify the world. Who could have guessed that the company of delicious lunch meat and the benign and gentle Wienermobile would be involved in the shadowy and unsavory world of food adulteration? It began when the cornerstone cold-cut bologna began to lose its savor, becoming insipid and revolting. At first, it was thought that the death of Oscar G. had deprived the sausage makers of the specific guidance they needed to manufacture the delightful sausage to the standards that had been maintained for generations. But a health inspector, by the merest chance, discovered the awful secret. Deep in the basement of the manufacturing facility was a lump of unidentified flesh the size of a delivery truck, nourished by tubes and maintained in optimum conditions for survival and growth. It soon turned out that the Mayer family had cloned the very first Oscar and had raised the product as a never-ending source of specific flavor profiles that were only to be found in their benchmark product. Every now and then, the cloning needed to be refreshed by a direct descendant, and when the line died out with Oscar G., so did the taste. Who can forget the horror and disgust on the face of the president at the press conference when, with eyes wide in fright and hands trembling with fear, he announced in a quavering voice to the world, Oscar Mayer Bologna is people!
Is that it?
Yes.
It's not people. No, it's not.
No.
Oh.
It's not people.
And then Edward G. Robinson... died in a little movie
dear.
With trees and stuff.
Okay. Everybody's saying, I wish I were in Oscar Mayer.
I don't. I really don't, though.
You don't? Oh,
no.
Well.
And this part is true. They have the family has asked that the Wienermobile not be at the funeral.
Really?
Yes, that is
why?
True.
Why? The body should be in the Wienermobile.
They have asked. Perfect. They have asked that.
Is the casket going to be a giant wiener? Don't you think? You know what I mean? They should make the casket look like a giant wiener.
I think the family would
like...
And
then like you open the bun, and you've opened the bun, there he is.
I think the family would like a little more dignity than that.
That's more dignity than that? That's hard to imagine.
What condiments will he be buried with?
Oh,
all right.
It.
Oh, come on, we can ask. Mustard, relish, what?
Formaldehyde.
Okay. Oh, that's, you know, comedy plus, or tragedy plus...
time.
Oh, yeah, that was what it was. Mm-hmm. Okay. The White House among the targets of sweeping cyber attack. North Korea suspected is the headline. The powerful internet attack that overwhelmed computers at U.S. and South Korean government agencies for days was even broader than initially realized, pestering the White House, the Pentagon, the New York Stock Exchange. Targets of the most widespread cyber offensive of recent years also included the NSA, Homeland Security, and the State Department, the NASDAQ Stock Department, and the Washington Post, according
Holy
to an
crap.
Early analysis of the malicious software used in the attacks. Dear leader.
K to the J to the I air in the hizzy. Sometime I don't know why I even bother. Nobody understand me. Nobody like me. Nobody want to be my friend.
Oh.
Even when I try to be nice, everybody tell me I'm evil. Now they say I'm guilty of releasing a cyber attack on the computer at the State Department and the Pentagon and the New York Stock Exchange and South Korea. I'm supposed to be the worst reader that ever was, and it's all because I'm trying to be friendly. You see, in my benevolent way, I give all my royal subject computer and internet access instead of feeding them. Then I gave them all Twitter account and Facebook pages and MySpace doohickeys, and I told them to invite everybody to everything. So for all my trouble trying to introduce the whole country to everybody in the world, now I'm in hot water again. Where's your bullcrap? From now on, no more Mr. Nice and Dear Reader. Forget being my friend on Facebook. From now on, I go nuclear on your ass. Remember that when the fireball scorches your butt cheek. We could all get it wrong, but no! Everybody took the John of Bolton pills. Give out!
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more of that Jim Ward falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website. That'll be stephaniemiller.com. And buy the downloadable album.
All right. Yes, Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chiefs Chairman, was talking about the cyber attack yesterday.
We are constantly probed in the cyber world. We have been for some time. And without going into any specific details of that, I'm comfortable that we are alert. We recognize the probes, and we are responding.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. It's all cyber scary, like in that Sandra Bullock movie when they erased her identity.
What happens in cyberspace stays in cyberspace.
Yeah, apparently. You know what? I'd be the first attack victim of a cyber attack because I have no idea how to do anything technically. Like Carol Leifer said yesterday, I'm befuddled by anything with a cord.
Yes, you are. You really are.
Yes.
Like music, for instance.
Mm.
Chords. See what I did there.
Hey, speaking of Admiral Mullen, I was happy to hear him say yesterday, I believe, a military strike toward Iran's nuclear weapons capability remains on the table, but could have grave and unpredictable consequences.
You think?
It's nice to have a military leader point that out.
Unpredictable?
That might not be the best option.
Well, for example, killing a lot of the civilians that we were cheering on so recently while they were trying to get their country back.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll work out well.
He said,
I know, let's bring democracy to Iran by killing all its people.
He said, I worry a great deal about the response of a country that gets struck, said Admiral Mullen. It's a really important place to not go if we cannot go there in any way, shape, or form. It's just sort of nice to hear a little reason back
from
the government that, you know, making around a parking lot maybe shouldn't be
smoke 'em out.
Option A.
Dead or alive.
Maybe.
Shock and awe.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride. Bang, bang. Shoot him up. Get her alive.
It's nice to know that there's a little forethought, Jim, that they may have a reaction of some sort. Huh. There may be some sort of...
They have negative consequences.
What's the word? Blowback.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, another day, another Republican letter to a mistress.
Oh, this one's awesome.
Why must they all play way too much information? 20 minutes after the hour, back with the John Ensign letter as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Can I have some love music, please, Chris?
Some love music?
Oh, by the way, speaking of... You can see Jim Ward's shaving injury on Twitter now.
Yes, twitter.com/radioguychris. I put a twit pic of it up. So.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We sounds like picking at a scab, which is... Kind of.
Yeah.
Which I may be doing tomorrow.
We've been sucked into the self-involvement that is Twitter, and good for us. We just thought that you wanted to see Jim Ward's shave. We had to knock off my bikini waxing accident picture for that, so.
Actually, the picture of you getting molested by Hal Sparks is still up on Twitter.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I don't believe I've seen that.
Yes, you have.
Oh, is that the one? Oh, he's behind me.
Yes.
Yes.
Making you exceedingly uncomfortable.
In a good way. A little blushy. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Love music, please.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you. Yeah, wow. we just know way more about the inner thoughts of adulterous Republicans than we really ever wanted to, don't we? The Las Vegas Sun, is that where this was published?
Yes, it
published an emotional, self-lacerating handwritten letter from John Ensign to his mistress, to his lover.
Oh, God. Did we need to know about this?
Uh-huh.
I think her husband is the one that released this.
Oh, dear. Hmm. Okay. Oh.
To his mistress, Cynthia Hampton. He writes, I used you for my own pleasure. Oh, that's romantic. Not letting thoughts of you, Doug, children's names deleted, come to mind. He actually wrote children's names deleted. No, he didn't. All right. I betrayed everything I believed in and lied to myself over plus over.
Huh?
Over and over.
Over and over.
He used the plus.
Oh, okay.
What, he couldn't write out the whole other two letters?
He couldn't even use an ampersand, which would have been more correct?
OMG. LOL. So sorry. I justified my actions because I blamed my wife. What?
What?
Huh?
I'm sure that'll go over well with the little lady.
Yeah, with the missus.
It's her fault that he had to, yeah. Okay.
Good thing they impeached Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that kind of...
Thank you, Senator Ensign. Okay. All right.
Lead by example, I guess. That's
his wife's fault. Mm-hmm. Okay. I certainly hope Elliot Spitzer didn't try that, because, honey, you don't... I had to go out and have unprotected sex with hookers for 10 years because you... Okay. Mm. All right. The economy. It's time for another edition of What a Boner. The Boner.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner.
I believe it's pronounced Representative John Boehner of Ohio.
No.
Not anymore.
Computer says no.
All right.
Vice President Joe Biden is invading Boehner's backyard tomorrow to tout the success of the stimulus package, but Boehner is redoubling his attacks, accusing the vice president of lying about the economy. Lying now. That's quite a charge. I found it...
Lie. Why must you be such a fat liar?
That seems uncalled for.
Sure.
I found it interesting, he said, over the last couple of days to hear Vice President Biden and the president mention the fact that they didn't realize how difficult an economic circumstance we were in. This is the greatest fabrication I have seen since I've been in Congress. Oh, Boehner. You
are an idiot.
Does anybody take him seriously anymore?
Apparently he thinks so. All of this talk of a second stimulus, I think, is an admission on the part of the administration that their stimulus plan is not working. Is this me, or does it seem a skosh bit premature? What was the congressperson yesterday told us? Maybe 10% of the money has been spent. I think the first most important thing is to get all the money out there.
Yes.
You know, over, I mean, obviously, who was the economist that said, I mean, the job benefit should be in a few months from now. Not,
right.
I mean, we're all in this economy together, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to give the thing a second? The DNC released a web ad this morning blasting Boehner on the stimulus. They said the fact is Boehner, well, they say John Boehner.
Sure.
Supported the Bush economic policies of the past 8 years that brought our economy to its knees. Now John Boehner is using baseless attacks to mislead the public about the success of the Recovery Act. So we will, besides the fact that Paul Krugman's right about everything. Let's continue to talk about the stimulus in the economy as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Who do you think has the cutest butt?
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, thank you.
Hal Sparks thinks so. You need to get it on with him. Seriously.
Let me put that on my to-do list.
All right.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
I'm afraid Hal Sparks is on a lot of people's to-do list.
Hey!
They have to get in line.
By the way, someone has written on our live blog that Oscar Mayer is officially sick of being grilled over his funeral arrangements.
Hey!
That was from Scooter on the live blog.
Okay. Dave in Buffalo says the stimulus is not working. Hello, David.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's working. I'm a small business owner here in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I own a painting contracting business, and I thought when, you know, the Bush administration put the stimulus package in place that it would boost the economy, help people spend money, and do small projects in their home and you know,
right,
buy in the community. And And I'll tell you what.
But, Dave, you realize we are a few weeks. I mean, look, I'm with you, except that we're only a few weeks in. I mean, we've only spent 10% of the stimulus. So
right.
To me, it seems a little. I mean, I think Paul Krugman might be right that it wasn't big enough. But, you know, I think you got to give it a second before you do a second stimulus, don't you?
Well, I don't know, Stephanie. You know, I mean, I remember, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago when all the stimulus checks came out for people. Maybe it was longer than that. I don't really remember because I didn't qualify. But I know there was a lot of money put out in the community. People were getting checks left and right. And, you know, let's face it, Buffalo, I love the city. I'm from here.
Me too.
But it's a dying town, you know. And
well, that's because I left.
No,
I kid. Yeah, I'm from Lackport, up the transit.
No kidding, I never knew that.
Way.
I apologize.
I used to live on Hurdle Avenue, right across from the Yuck Yucks.
Oh my God, you're from my neighborhood, North Buffalo.
I'm from your hood,
Holy
baby.
Crap. Holy crap.
But anyways, you know, it's just terrible. I mean, normally by this time of year, I've done 15, 20 homes in the city.
Right.
And looking ahead to 20 or 25 more. And, you know, I've always ran a crew of between 5 and 7 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's down to myself and my 2 sons,
mm-hmm.
and we've done 5 homes.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
I mean, the economy is terrible.
Yep. No, look, I got a friend here, same thing. You know, her whole company's getting just whacked down to nobody. I mean, it's like, you know, like I say, Dave, it's not even just your place or it's everywhere. And so, you know, that's the thing. It seems like we're all in this together. And, you know, I was listening to someone yesterday saying that, you know, a lot of these Republican governors, it's like they're actively working against this. You know,
right,
against the
right.
president because they want it to fail politically. And, you know, I think they should listen to more real people like you. There's real people out there that are hurting, you know, Democrat
right.
or Republican, and we're all in this together. So, Dave,
everybody's in it. And you know, I just
here's the good news. After this winter, a lot of people are going to need painting in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie, I just want to say one thing. I was a longtime listener of the guy on the other radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure RL, I'll just leave it at that. And I only listen to his show because I can't stand him. I hate the way he degrades Democrats and makes people, you know, out to be bad people because they're affiliated with the Democratic Party. Myself, I was raised a Democrat. I'm always going to be a Democrat. I tried the Republican thing for about a year and didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice and refreshing to hear someone speak good about the Democrats, and I appreciate your show.
Oh, well, thank
I'm
you,
a
Dave.
New fan.
Well,
I'm
you know, here's the difference is I, you know, when I listen to Rush, the problem is you can disagree with the stimulus, I get that, or disagree with what the president's doing, but he always ascribes like evil motives. I mean, do you really think the president, you know, has had a socialist plot since kindergarten? Like that he really doesn't.
Not at all.
He really isn't doing this to try and help the economy and help the, you know, the American people.
I love Obama. I voted for him. I think he's a great face for America. He's got a great family, and he's doing the best that he can with what he's got handed to him. And hopefully this country will turn around in the next year or so. And I really think it's going to.
Dave, what's the name of your business?
D.P. Zobrist & Sons Painting. And
you're the official Buffalo painter of the Stephanie Miller Show. I highly recommend you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Recommend my band, too, the Davey Z Project.
And your garage band. Thank you, David.
Thank right. you. Bye-bye.
There you go. And hire his garage band. Listen,
yes, to go.
He needs the scratch. Painting is getting scarce in Buffalo.
Maybe they could be our house band.
There you go. All
I didn't
right.
realize Buffalo's needed
maybe
painting.
He, maybe they could play at my and Hal Sparks' wedding. Oh. All right. Let's... okay.
Hal would like a wedding.
You know, he's a little more credible member of my future husband list in that I actually know him. And he actually
and you've
knows
gotten
who I am.
And you've gotten a massage
and
from
I've
him.
Actually touched him.
And you sat on his lap.
Indeed I did.
Mm.
All right. And we talked about the first thing that popped up. All right. Let's...
Flavin.
Ladies and germs.
Okay. President Obama says there is nothing he would have done differently about the economic stimulus. One of his top outside economic advisors, though, says the plan was a bit too small.
Yeah.
This is what Paul Krugman was his mm-hmm. saying from day one, right, Jim?
Yep.
And
yep.
they don't give those Nobel Prizes out like candy.
You can't have half measures. You're either going to
see
throw everything at it but the kitchen sink or
Yeah, and this is what I'm afraid of on health care as well. This is the problem. Like, if not now, when? We have a Democratic president and a majority, and I think that, you know, this is the problem. Is we're not being bold enough on some things. That's what I'm afraid of. It's going to get watered down so that either health care is not going to be health care reform is not going to be meaningful. And the stimulus, the same thing. I'm sick of having to do things, you know, politically and making it politically safe. And so Republicans will come along. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, no, they might disagree.
And I hate it when they call, like, oh, Krugman and a, you know, a liberal economist. It's like the economy's not liberal or conservative.
Right.
The economy's the economy. We're all in it together, you know.
Yeah, well, he is, you know, left of center. He believes in the New Deal.
Yeah.
The center has shifted far to the right.
Right. Well, my point is that this, I understand his political leanings, but at this point, it doesn't matter. Whatever works is what's, you know.
And if Obama were really a socialist, he would have people like Paul Krugman and Robert Reich instead of Larry Summers and Tim Geithner.
Right, because now the problem is political, like Claire McCaskill was saying. If we're trying to move anything on health care and we're trying to move anything on climate change, then putting another stimulus on top of that is a backbreaker. She said it's a political backbreaker for people from states like mine anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the problem with even a second stimulus, which, you know, we don't... I think, in my opinion, know if we need yet, but that's why I agree with Krugman that it probably should have been bigger in the first place. But, you know, there we go, trying to... And we got zero votes from Republicans anyway, you know? Which you're going to get on health care, too, by the way. So
no
just do the right thing.
No point in appeasing the Republicans, because they're just going to be obstructionists.
Here's the idea. Why don't we put single payer back on the table? How about that? Okay. Claire McCaskill says the idea of a second stimulus is a non-starter. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, though, of Rhode Island, says it should be on the table. Harry Reid said there's no showing second stimulus is needed, but House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says Congress needs to be open as to whether we need additional action.
Boy.
Oh, boy.
There's the Democratic Party for you.
Herding those cats together. One political scientist said right now every headline across the board is that the stimulus isn't enough. States are in bankruptcy. States aren't paying their bills. At the same time, though, polls show voters have little appetite for a second stimulus. So here we are in a political bind again. Democrats fear that any attempt to pass one will provide Republicans too much ammunition to argue that Democrats are big spenders that can't reverse the job loss trend, blah, blah, blah. With unemployment in his home state of Rhode Island at 12%, yikes. Sheldon Whitehouse told Politico it's too soon to rule out another stimulus. Whitehouse rejected the argument already being made by Republicans that passing a second stimulus would be tantamount to admitting that the first one hadn't worked. He said it's like putting out the first half of a fire in a house. If it flares back up again, the firemen go back and put more water on it. Then we mentioned they mentioned Paul Krugman saying that he says the need for an additional stimulus is already clear because, as he said, the first one should have been bigger. All I know is it's above my pay grade, the entire thing. Representative Brian Bilbrey, Republican of California.
I think that we need to justify how much money we're spending and where are the jobs saved and where have they been preserved. And I think that we've got major credibility crisis here.
What has saved jobs? That's demonstrably true. But, like I said, the congressman that was on with us yesterday said 10% of it has been spent. My question, too, and we'll ask the Congress critters today, why is that?
Yeah.
And how can they speed it up? And when will all of it be spent so that we could have a better picture of what's happening?
Some things are going to take some time, like rebuilding the energy infrastructure and, you know, building more windmills and solar facilities and all that. It will work, but it needs time to get off the ground.
Wait till you hear what stupid thing Mary Madeline said about the economy.
We'll play
that for you when we get back.
She's such a bonehead.
42.
What?
Mrs. Carville, bonehead to you.
Well.
42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Berkeley in Sacramento. You're
Hi,
on
Steph.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi. Hey, regarding the economic stimulus plan, let's just tell the Republicans that we need an economic surge.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
Language they understand. We need some.
Okay.
We need some economic shock and awe.
We get it now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can
all right,
we, can
honey,
we shoot somebody
you.
While we're doing it? Can we blow stuff up? Let's bomb somebody. Yeah, okay. Now
exactly.
We're
if you can blow stuff up, they'll be for it. All right. So Mary Madeline and our buddy, our pal, Donna Brazil, on the Situation Room. This is just... It really is a fairly stunning rewriting of history. How long has Obama been president now? Let's see. Carry the four divided by...
6 months, essentially.
Yeah. Essentially, yes. So he apparently in 6 months has run up the biggest deficit of all time.
no. And then Donna Brazil schools her. This is funny.
The deficit that this president has run up and the debt exceeds all of
this president or the last
this president,
president
exceeds every president preceding him. This is four times what Bush's worst deficit was.
What?
So it's now your
it is his
deficit.
God, Mary,
it's now
you cannot
no,
take
not
the facts
five,
off the table.
All of them.
This past president ran up the deficit and did nothing to strengthen the economy, and that's why this new president must change the policies that
right.
got us in.
I mean, seriously, of all the intellectually dishonest things that Republicans say, I mean, come on. You're really going to say this president, how could any president run up a deficit in less than 6 months? He inherited, I mean, that's just, again, you're not entitled to two sets of facts.
Right.
And his
he
invasion of Iraq was a terrible idea.
I love how
when he let 9/11 happen.
I love how Donna Brazil said, now, you can't be taking facts off the table here, Mary.
Exactly. I mean,
facts have a liberal bias.
I mean, you know, honest fiscal conservatives will say they didn't like what Bush did either. I mean, you have to have at least an honest starting point for the conversation. You may not like the way Obama is addressing this, but the fact is he inherited an enormous deficit.
And what's also different is that we're actually counting the money spent on Iraq and Afghanistan,
right.
which Bush
and,
kept
and
under
people,
the rug.
And I understand people are like, well, now he's making it worse. It's like, well, yes, he's trying to fix the economy that was left by this last administration. You know, again, yeah, we're going to have the discussion at some point. Is this plan working? Do we need a second stimulus? What do we do now? But the point, you can't go, oh, this deficit is all his fault now.
If only we had less regulation and no taxes for rich people, everything would be fine.
And like Jim said, Obama has introduced honest accounting into the equation, which is, of course, going to drive
of course
up.
It looks worse.
Yeah, it looks worse because we're being honest about everything instead of sweeping a lot of stuff under the rug.
And it seems to me you don't even have to be on either side of the partisan divide to go, we tried it that way for 8 years. That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's try something else now. Let's go to Quentin in Montana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Minnesota,
sorry.
That's right, not Montana. Minnesota, and it's Zimmerman, Minnesota.
Zimmerman, Minnesota. Slowly I turned.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I wanted to know, just as interest, what basic proponents of economic stimulates the economy that you think?
Say that again.
What would stimulate the economy? What do you think stimulates the economy? What causes the economy to grow in your thought?
I'm really not Paul Krugman, so
I was just thinking it's basic economics. I mean, what do you do every day? You buy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Ladies love to go to the stores to buy. Guys like to buy tools, like to buy stuff. What causes people to be able to purchase things?
Having jobs.
Yes, having jobs and having money.
Mm-hmm.
So, question, if growing the size of government, in other words, ensuring that there's more people employed to run programs like increasing childcare for people who are looking for jobs, does that stimulate the economy?
If people have jobs who didn't have them before, yes.
Yes, yes.
So you're saying that increase in the size of government stimulates the economy because the government is going to cause the economy to grow by the government spending less more of our money on things that do not generate money?
Quentin, will we be arriving at a point shortly to all this, or will it just be a pop quiz for the entire time?
No. I'm just trying to be able to, because I think most people who live every day, when they have a budget for their home. They say, okay, I'll make $1,500 a month. I've got to pay the rent $1,000 a month. I'm left with $500 I can spend on food. They don't say the way to be able to stimulate the economy is to be able to spend another $1,000. They've only got $500 left. So the way to stimulate the economy is to spend.
But what if you put that entire $1,500 on a train going to Chicago at 10 a.m.? What time would be? All right.
My brain hurts.
Government programs put people to work. They then have money to spend on stuff, which causes businesses to thrive.
Right.
Who then can hire more people, who then have more money so they can buy stuff. That's how it works.
Okay.
Yes, we'll be running a deficit, but we've been doing that for ages.
Yeah. I mean. It's like these are all people that never said a peep about the enormous deficit that George Bush was running up, that they were helping him run up.
Or,
and now that's the only issue. I mean, it's
or
yes,
all
it's
the
an
money
issue,
we
but
wasted in the 1980s building up a military to fight a threat which they knew damn well hardly existed anymore, long before the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was a basket case, and they knew they made them look like they were more of a threat than they were to justify all this huge military spending.
And I think the point of this guy's call is that, you know, growing the government is bad, obviously, but again, the point of this is not to grow the government, it's to give people jobs.
Yep.
Because we're really in a bad place, obviously, economically and job-wise. So it's not because, again, Barack Obama had a plot when he was in kindergarten to grow the government.
And if government money is like seed money, say, for green energy technology, windmills and solar power, like I said, that puts people to work.
There you go, tilting at windmills again. See
energy,
how you are?
Which will be sustainable and, in the long run, cheaper than what we have now.
Yeah. Max in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, yes. The problem with the stimulus not working is that George Bush and Henry Paulson had it for 60 days and gave it away to their friends.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And if everybody remembers back, what did Henry Paulson say? We need to use this now. We're in danger now. And the Congress let him. Mm-hmm. And they trusted him. And they needed to use it now because it was their last chance to give something to their buddies on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. I always knew that Mr. Hanke, the Christmas Treasury poo, was up to no good, didn't you?
He should be investigated. He was with Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
And he was a corporate
enemy. Yeah, read the Rolling Stone article that Jim mentioned by Matt Taibbi.
Uh-huh. That's the problem with the stimulus. And if people don't see it, you know what? They're dummies.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay, let's go to Mike in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
What stimulates the economy is manufacturing, of which we've shipped overseas so that rich people could not pay taxes. And this guy probably has a high-paying job, so he wouldn't understand that.
Right.
A second, a third job. I've been doing that for 4 years now. I'm getting darn tired of it and listening to people who don't understand what really makes this country run.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good for you. That's the American way, as George Bush would say. No, it's not. Nobody should have to have more than one job.
Yeah.
What, we'd move to Jamaica if we wanted that.
Same age as my mother.
Well, yeah. What?
Exactly. The article by Matt Taibbi is called The Great American Bubble Machine. From tech stocks to high gas prices, Goldman Sachs has engineered every major market manipulation since the Great Depression, and they're about to do it again.
Wait.
And if you go to the newsstand looking for that, it's the Rolling Stone with the Jonas Brothers on the cover.
Yay!
Yay! Something for the kid, too. Steve in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I think the problem is this. I'm sure of it. The Feds, they're just not lending money. The banks aren't lending money. That people want to go in business. They want to buy properties. But the banks, they get their marching orders from the Fed, and they're just not giving the people the money. I know this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People have to go in with at least 70, 80, 90%. No one has that amount of cash, and that's what's stopping the entire economy. When this loosens up, it'll happen. But until then, this is just contrived.
Yep, I hear you. Bert in Chicago. Go ahead.
Hey, Mama. I want to respond to that guy from Minnesota. I'm unemployed right now. I get an extra $25 in my check every 2 weeks, and that was supposed to be for me to go out and spend money to help stimulate the economy right now.
So what are you buying with that $25?
Groceries.
Sure.
Okay. There
that,
you go.
That stimulates the economy.
Absolutely. And here's another thing. You had Boehner the other day saying that none of that money in the stimulus had gone to Ohio. And then it turns out that there's 52 contracts that are ready to go, which are going to be paying like paving companies and contractors who are going to hire workers who are going to go out and spend the money that they're making.
All right. Sounds like jobs to me. Mm-hmm. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Gregory Meeks, Democrat of the great state of New York, on the Celebrity Hotline next hour. Also, Representative Elliot Engel, also Democrat of the great state of New York, next hour to talk about the stimulus, the economy, and much more.
Mm-hmm.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You can also see Jim's shaving injury.
Yes.
Which is quite epic, really.
Yes, that's up at Twitter. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris. And Jim is still bleeding.
I think it's stopped by now. It's dried.
Also, check out the calendar section.
It's clotted.
Good. Check out the calendar section and come see Mama in a couple of weeks, Saturday, July 25th in San Francisco, and then Saturday, August 8th in Seattle for the Town Hall Forum with all my other friends, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan.
That's right. The calendar section is under the show section. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yes.
Fabulous.
It's a little hard to find.
Good for us. Okay. All right. this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox based on GM compact crossover segment. Excludes other GM vehicles. Hooray for GM.
Hooray.
Hooray. Buy America. Okay. Okay. Oh, Hannity being a grumpy Gus on the economy again. Oh.
Obama's Katrina is the failing economy. For example,
he made
will the American people now view this as his debt? His deficit,
yeah, thanks to you,
his botched economy, his broken promises on spending.
No.
Are they now
going
to blame him? Is he now going to take responsibility for this? Or how long does he get away with saying this is Bush's economy?
It is Bush's economy.
Yeah.
He inherited it.
Yeah.
That's beyond opinion. It is fact.
He did this all single-handedly in less than 6 months to the economy. It's his Katrina. Okay. Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Right. Hey, Senator Olympia Snow, Republican of Maine. Here's a dandy idea for health care.
I believe that we should just move from there and take it off the table and move forward and find other alternatives.
She'd like us to take the public option right off the table.
Other alternatives, such as?
She wants to take the alternative, first of all, off the table that 75% of Americans
are
poor. We need to dispense with that. We need to get rid of that immediately, and then we can move forward.
Pretty much everybody in America is for it, except the insurance companies.
I think we should do whatever
and
the
Olympia
insurance
Snow.
Companies tell us to do, because they give me lots of money.
Exactly.
I said too much!
Olympia Snow is part of the insurance company if she gets millions and millions of dollars from them.
All right. Meanwhile, this one... But with the state of healthcare debate and the economy, we need something to lift our spirits, don't we, Chris? And in honor of the president...
Gotta lift something.
In honor of the president just being in Russia, one must do the story with the headline, Russian lifts 14 kilograms with her vagina, sets a record.
Nice. What?
One would think that is, in fact, a record. Is this... This should be an Olympic sport if it is not.
Vagina lifting?
She didn't lift her... She lifted something else.
The clean
with
jerk? Doesn't sound like something you can do with it.
But enough about her divorce.
Hey!
Okay. All right. A Russian woman has set a new world record in the competitive world of vagina lifting by raising...
This is sanctioned?
Listen, I'm just reading the news.
The sports.
Yes, the sports
She's reporting
section
reporting the sports.
Oh, okay.
By raising 14 kilograms. I can never do the math, Jim. How many pounds is that? That's a lot.
I don't know.
Carry the four. Okay, using her...
The JJ.
The JJ.
Mm-hmm. Her cooter.
No, Popo is the butt. That's
pardon me. Katya Kostyanukova of Noshnova Kalinkin.
Novosibirsk?
Mm. She aged 42. Oh, hello. Has been in training for 15 years. And finally... Oh, boy. Next time you call me, Chris, I mean, I can't talk now. I'm lifting with my...
With your popo.
Yeah, I would do that. It would be wrong.
Yeah, it would be totally wrong.
I'm sorry.
Man, that's some extreme Kegel exercises right there.
Yeah. She has finally won bragging rights after lifting a 14-kilogram glass ball. Sadly for us, she explains. She said, after I had a child, my intimate muscles... got unbelievably weak. I read books on Tao and learned that ancient women used to deal with this problem by using wooden balls. I looked around, saw a Murano glass ball, inserted it in my... it took me ages to get it out. I think that was more information than I need to know how long it took. Okay. It's enough to exercise your vagina 5 minutes a day, ladies, and in just 1 week, you'll be able to give yourself and your man unforgettable pleasure in bed.
Wow. And you'll get this Brazilian power crystal.
If you can lift this Brazilian power crystal, call now with your
PJJ. 6 free minutes, and while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
And shove it up your.
Okay. Wow, that's good for her.
I'm guessing this won't be an Olympic event, at least not a televised one.
Yeah.
All right.
Because intimate muscles are involved.
Okay. She'd actually get a good mark from the Russian judge, though.
Yeah,
since
she
was Russian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's check some other, although it doesn't get more entertaining than that, some other entertaining news.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Sacha Baron Cohen's gay Austrian alter ego, Bruno. That's his new character.
I really
after
can't.
After Borat, it's his, yeah. This is Bruno.
Well, I can't wait to see this movie.
It has infuriated Austria's new ambassador to Britain, so much so he wants people to protest against the movie. Emil Brix urged action over the cheap gags made about his nation's Nazi past and monster Joseph Fritzl. Fritzl. In the film, Bruno jokes of wanting to be their most famous countryman since Hitler. The spoof fashionista also refers to incest cellar fiend Fritzl when he says the Austrian dream is to have a job, find a dungeon, and raise a family there.
You heard about that story, didn't you?
Yes. But Culture Minister Brix does not see the funny side. He said the public will know how to react to this film. Yes, I'm guessing it will be a huge hit, just like Borat.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mr. Brix.
Mm-hmm. Ach, was? Does this Sacha Cohen person think he has his finger on the pulse of Austria? With his homosexual character, with the ridiculous umlauts and his little jokes about incest and their Führer, the little house Peter from Braunau, and all that quatsch. He has no idea what he's talking about. The real spirit of Austria is not to be told by skinny little Untermenschen with lisps and limp wrists, but by great, ignorant, chauvinistic manly men who torture families in their basements. That's what Austria is all about. Without the Springerstiefel and the Baseballschläger making a powerful Anschluss with the heads of immigrants and the sodomites, it doesn't have the true Austrian spirit. Besides, it is to laugh, ha ha ha, to think that the little Levantine is going to get under our skin with his shenanigans and schwindeln when we're the ones who put an SS officer in the United Nations and later cooked up Jörg Haider, the Freedom Party of Austria, the Union of Independence, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. You couldn't write this stuff. So go ahead, Mr. Abendländer, and make your little mockeries on your stick. Heute Hollywood, morgen die Welt. Die Fahne hoch, die Reihe ver... The Ark of the Covenant? I would love to take a look. My face is melting! Daniel Spielberg! What a world! Was für eine Welt ist das eigentlich?
Dear.
Oh, and finally, the headline wouldn't seem to scream comedy, but it is. Man dies after falling into vat of chocolate in New Jersey.
If you're going to go, might as well be in a vat of chocolate.
Certain times of the month, I'd agree. Authorities say a man died after falling into a vat of melted chocolate in a New Jersey processing plant. He was a temporary worker at the Cocoa Services Incorporated plant. We have, who do we have?
We have his boss, Mr. William Wonka.
Help! I've fallen into this freaking vat of chocolate!
Hold your breath. Make a wish.
count to three.
Count to three? I'm freaking drowning!
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
I'm drowning! Somebody help me!
And you'll see into your imagination.
I wish I wasn't freaking drowning in this bed of chalk!
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation.
Somebody call OSHA!
What we'll see will defy explanation.
I'll sue your ass!
Come and see, you will be in a world of cross-examination. A court of law will confirm my allegation.
Oh dear. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Hey, friends. Oh, dear. If you'd like more festive Jim Ward Falderall.
No information that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory were responsible for anyone's death.
We don't know that.
Except for the fat kid.
Yeah. I didn't know they were located in New Jersey.
Who knew?
Huh.
It's a world of imagination.
That's right.
Does that have anything to do with the Oscar Mayer death, I wonder?
Anyway, yeah, check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. Dial ad, StephanieMiller.com. Buy the album.
Bing.
Well, I'm all trying right. to get William Shatner stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Am I the only one who hated that version of the movie? The 1971 version?
I don't think I saw the whole thing.
I hated that version of the movie.
Is there any truth to the conspiracy theory that Oscar Mayer was killed by fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks? The other hot dog company, maybe. That was the other one. Maybe he was killed by people from the other hot dog company.
Armor hot dogs.
All right. Gene Simmons' platform heels keep him fit, he says.
Have you seen him lately, though? He doesn't look all that fit.
He claims he never gains weight despite gorging on cakes and other sweet treats because performing in his huge leather stage costume and stacked shoes help him burn all calories. He said, when you train your body to walk on these platform heels for hours and carry 30 pounds of guitar and leather outfits, it's a terrific workout. You can eat cheesecake every day and not gain a pound. Hmm. Stephanie Miller Show does not stand by the health tips offered in this particular story.
That and the cocaine, probably. Allegedly.
Yeah, that might. Allegedly.
Rock stars and drugs? What? That's crazy.
Ooh. Keen to show off his svelte figure to younger fans. After performing on American Idol.
Compared to Gert Fröbe.
He was caught thrusting at a female fan. He said, don't I look hot? As he stuck out his trademark tongue before grabbing a random good-looking young girl and thrusting her as she... Oh, dear.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
She was thrusted by Gene Simmons.
Every girl's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
It must be the makeup.
Ugh.
Hides the ugliness.
The headline is Michael Jackson's arms marred by track marks consistent with potent sedative. By the way, I knew this already because I knew the thing about that. You remember the thing I knew?
The baby doll.
Yes, there was a baby doll on the bed with him. Okay. Listen, I live here in L.A. I know people that know people that know things. Okay. Both of Michael Jackson's arms were scarred with track marks. Investigators probing his death say, and the marks were consistent with the finding of the potent sedative Diprivan is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
In his home, a drug that is increasingly at the center of the probe into what caused his death. According to ABC News, several Hollywood and Beverly Hills doctors now part of the investigation. Prescription medications were found inside Jackson's. Here's the one part of the story that made me... In his $100,000 per month rental home. Holy moly! $100,000 a month!
If you saw the helicopter shots of it, it was a huge house that he was renting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jackson, this is, this is like Anna Nicole meets Elvis. Jackson was addicted to Demerol and to OxyContin, investigators have told ABC News, and took the drugs daily. Medical experts have reported that Diprivan blocks out the world. Those addicted to it routinely report their abuse began with using the drug to treat insomnia, an ongoing problem for Jackson. Medical experts contacted by ABC News said that the list of 20 drugs found in Jackson's rented home was jaw-dropping and amazing. That list is enough to put down a swarm of zombies, according to one doctor. The list would be typical for an anesthesia card in an operating room or what you might find in a recovery room or an ICU. Found in Jackson's home, methadone, fentanyl, Percocet, Vicodin. 20 drugs, many of those can be injected, including methadone, fentanyl, Demerol, Versed, and Lycodane.
Oh, my
Holy
God.
Crap. The difference between a dose, this is the Diprivan, one medical professional said the difference between a dose that is sedating and one that can be lethal is very small. You'd want to have the ability to support breathing with a respirator in case of an overdose. That's why it's not supposed to be used outside a hospital. It has no place in a household, according to another doctor. This alone is a deviation, and many laws were likely violated just to get the Diprivan there. So, hey, wow, this is only just beginning, this whole investigation. Yikes. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, wow-wee, big breaking news on the Leon Panetta and the... Huh? Turns out Nancy Pelosi might have been telling the truth. We'll tell you all about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Oh, I forgot to mention I got bumped off the Ed Show again.
Yeah, you did.
Till tomorrow. Yeah, because of the breaking CIA story, which we'll get to in a moment. But Mama will be on the Ed Show tomorrow on MSNBC, not today.
Right. They guaranteed your appearance tomorrow.
All right. We've been bumping each other. We're having a little bit of a
bump.
I was on. Well, they asked last week, and I was on vacation and drunk and whatever, you know.
Whatever.
So tomorrow for sure. Okay.
You told me you were drying out last week.
Yeah. Chris in Oakland here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, we were talking about Hannity a little earlier, and I listen to all these Republicans, him and all these other ones, these neo-gons, they complain about just about everything that President Obama can do. You know, he can't do anything right for them 6 months into his administration. Well, I started a lot earlier than that. But it strikes me as odd, where, you know, because they didn't seem to have much trouble with all the stuff that W was messing up like 9 months into his administration. Like,
yeah, not a peep about the deficit from Sean Hannity for 8 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Nothing, no, that stuff was all good. Yeah, it was all good. You know, the presidential daily briefing, that was no problem that he missed that. And, you know, the building of towers came down. That was cool. But anything Obama does is wrong.
Yep. And now, thanks for paying attention. I appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, Sean Hannity. Huh. Suddenly he's just discovered debt and the deficit. Huh. Weird.
Nobody's Democrat is talking about cutting taxes. They're not talking about stimulus tax and cap.
No, they're like
cap and taxes increase. Health care is on the horizon, $2 trillion, and that's just the bare minimum cost. As far as I'm concerned, it'll cost a lot more. So the question is, will the country wake up now in time to stop the next phase of this dramatic debt and deficits that they're creating?
You need to wake up and realize they don't need health care? Yeah. 75% of Americans who want single payer?
Yeah, those Sean's
guys?
Been having a little nappy time. A little nappy time for 8 years. He just, what?
Sure.
How did we get this debt and this deficit? Huh? Barack Obama's fault.
I'm sure President Palin will take care of it.
And did you hear him call cap and trade cap and tax? That's the new GOP talking point.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, breaking news, which necessitated Mama being bumped today. How did they know I haven't been in the CIA? They told you, Ed's producer told you that they're having CIA people on. How do they know that? How do they know this isn't the CIA mission I'm on right now?
Ed's producer fought hard and said that you would be able to talk about this, but they said no.
No, we want
CIA.
She's
people.
For the fart jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was wise.
Yeah.
Okay. Democrats are accusing senior CIA officials of repeatedly misleading Congress, but Republicans say the allegations are just political maneuvering to protect Nancy Pelosi. Turns out Nancy Pelosi was right, it looks like. Letters by the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and other members of the panel say CIA Director Leon Panetta told Congress last month that senior CIA officials have concealed significant actions and misled lawmakers repeatedly since 2001. The chairman, Chairman Reyes, said the CIA outright lied in one case. We will be back with more details on all this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, I will grant you that
Stephanie Miller
is somewhat, well, silly. But not any sillier than the pet rock, the mood ring, or, of course, NBC's Sunday night lineup.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Will in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the CIA story. Hey, Will.
Hi, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back. I like Hal, but I really missed you guys.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, you have to understand that the CIA doesn't lie. They're using enhanced disclosure methods.
Ah.
Enhanced data. Enhanced. It's the new black.
Thank you. The breaking news, in case you hadn't heard, CIA Director Leon Panetta recently testified to Congress that the agency concealed information and misled lawmakers repeatedly since 2001. Huh, that's what Nancy Pelosi said, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
According to a letter from 7 House Democrats to Panetta made public yesterday, the letter contained no details about what information the CIA officials allegedly concealed or how they reportedly misled members of Congress. Chairman Silvestri, though, Reyes of Texas, said, these notifications have led me to conclude that this committee has been misled, has not been provided full and complete notifications, and at least one case was affirmatively lied to. Jim, you mentioned that when this whole story broke, whenever that was. That was a little slippery when Leon Panetta came out and it appeared to repudiate Nancy Pelosi by saying, it's not the practice of the CIA to mislead Congress. And did we do it?
Oh, well, sure.
That's it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, probably we did.
Well, you don't have to practice it because we're so good at it. So,
yeah, exactly. So we will, we will obviously hear more about that. Of course, the Republicans are they're just trying to protect Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's either true or it's not.
Right.
You know, so we'll find out more about that. The other good breaking news that I heard yesterday is the Roe deposed in U.S. attorney probe.
Yes.
Ah, the rule of law may be back one of these days. You never know. Karl Rove was deposed Tuesday by attorneys for the House Judiciary, according to the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Representative John Conyers, the panel's chairman. Conyers wouldn't comment on what Rove told congressional investigators and what the next step is in the Judiciary Committee investigation, in the whole attorney firings thing.
I'm guessing he wasn't the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Do you think? Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
I got a question about those people who support single payer. My question is, why do you guys only want the government providing health care? Like, isn't it my right as an American to be able to have private insurance?
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Exactly.
That's why now they're talking about a public option. And see, the second part of that phrase is option, so you would have an option.
And you could always purchase
insurance. You can keep your own if you want.
On top of that, or keep what you have now.
That's right.
But another question is, how are we going to pay for it?
That's what they're working on right now.
Yeah, but isn't raising taxes a little bit too bad right now in this economy? That's why, like, right now I'm saying we can wait for government
right, but healthcare. Tom, don't you think that part of the reason that the economy is so broken is healthcare? I mean,
you don't
agree that healthcare isn't a giant problem in this country?
And most of the...
Most bankruptcies are because of medical issues, because people are dropped by their insurance companies.
You don't want what?
What?
I don't think healthcare is the reason they
Yes,
well, yes, it
that,
is.
That's
well,
a fact. That is a fact.
That yeah, it's the cause of the most bankruptcies in America.
Even Republicans report that.
These catastrophic, health problems and being dropped by one's insurance company, which they do. That's how they make their money.
Right, and
by
most
denying
of,
people coverage.
Most of healthcare reform is going to be paid for through savings in
administrative costs.
Administrative costs for Medicaid and Medicare. We just have to come up with a little bit more money. And that's what they're currently talking about on Capitol Hill, to pay for it.
Okay, but still, countries that have government-run health care, their health care system is actually worse than
No, it's not. No, it's not. That is a Republican talking point that is fed
to... I've been to England. I've seen it. They have to wait in line. I don't have to wait over here.
Have to wait in a waiting room at a doctor's office?
No, they have to wait like a few weeks to get coverage. If I want to get a doctor right now, I can just go get it.
Okay, and you can keep your private plan if you want to.
But that's England. That's not the case in France, Germany, Denmark, Sweden. I mean, it works when it's done right. Switzerland, and they have a private option.
That's right.
You can in Germany, France, and Switzerland. Oh. You have the option of buying. Private health care on top of what you get normally.
Thank you. I didn't want to listen to him going through the wind tunnel any longer. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the CIA story. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I'm off topic, but my girlfriend fell over her handlebars the other day, and she had to wait at the emergency room after being cleared through the ambulance, and somebody lost her CAT scan report. We ended up sitting in the room for 6.5 hours while they went to search it, and she is fully insured. But anyway, my joke about the CIA European.
Oh, thank God you weren't in England.
Yeah, I would have to wait.
Yeah, in pounds or liters or something.
Yeah.
But do you know what the CIA lies to Congress for?
What's
practice?
That?
Practice.
Practice. Yeah. As Jim always says, on the CIA building, the truth shall set you free is meant to be ironic.
Yeah, that's what they do is conceal stuff.
Les in Lancaster, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hey, Les.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
That one caller, isn't it amazing how those Republican sticking points stick like Gorilla Glue to, I keep hearing this, like the caller just before the last talk about how are we going to pay for it?
Right.
Where's my private insurance? And then there was the one guy that didn't even have insurance, and he said he didn't need it. And then he found out that he's actually a vet, and that he also has the option to get health insurance from his employer. He just exercises his option not to use it, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
He never gets sick. I've never actually been sick.
That reminds me of the George Carlin thing. Why, did you swim in raw sewage when you were a child?
I live in Springville, and it's close to West Valley, and, you know, I used to swim in that creek, and I just think I'm impenetrable, basically.
that's what parents need to do to avoid having any health care costs for their kids. Let your kids swim
in raw
sewage.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dan.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm giving a call on healthcare. I've had two scenarios where one was here, where I've had to bring my 3-year-old son to the emergency room for severe constipation. They took us in. He was fussy, yelling. The doctors, after 6 hours of waiting, gave us one piece of paper saying we have an out-of-control child and charged us $500. We have good insurance, and we still had to pay $500. It was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were in France, my 8-year-old daughter got sick at home. We called the doctor. They came over at night, given it was about 10 at night.
House calls.
Costed us $25.
Wow.
With single-payer health care. I mean, it was great service. We've never, ever had to wait for service.
Wow.
So I don't know what these people are talking about when they talk about that. So.
Yep, wow.
I suspect it's people who've never been outside of their hometown. And say, oh, it's terrible over there. People have to wait. It's Stalinist hellhole nightmare.
Yeah. Knock, knock. Oh, it's the doctor. I got to go. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Really great show. And, you know, these people that call in and say how you're in Europe, that the healthcare system sucks, they're so stupid.
Yeah.
They're insane. It's garbage. And when you go to England, you can be seen immediately.
Well, and Steph, the other, you know, the thing that's inherent in that is that they think that our healthcare system is a stupendous success.
It's garbage. Our health system, just like the guy before, you know, you go into the emergency room and you're treated like crap and you don't get care. And I just want to say one thing real quick. We're going to have a rally in Madison on July 25th. It starts at 2:30 in Library Mall, and we're going to march to the Capitol. And at 3 o'clock, there's going to be, you know, speakers and everything. So it's rubbish. We have to have single payer.
Yeah, well, I wish that was back on the table. But, I know these talking points are just I think that she's exactly right. It's people that have never probably been anywhere.
Right.
It's because Sean Hannity told them.
Right.
The system is
Sean Hannity
everywhere.
Said it's terrible in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say it for myself.
By the way, we have people that die in emergency rooms here. Remember, how about that footage of that woman that died on the floor? She was on the floor bleeding for how many hours and died in the waiting room?
Yeah, and that's because George Bush said, hey, just go to the emergency room if you got a problem.
Yeah, you can get health care.
Which is part of the problem.
People who
rely on emergency rooms for their primary health care.
Right.
And then people who are actually experiencing emergencies don't get seen.
Yeah, exactly. 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As the healthcare debate heating up again, Senator Harry Reid yesterday
If we leave it up to private insurance companies, they're more interested in keeping their profits up than keeping us healthy. That won't happen. Nor will it happen if our Republican colleagues continue to defend the status quo.
Or as Senator Snow said, let's just take the public option off the table. Only 75% of the American public want that. Why do we need that? James Carville with a good point about
that. The right tells us that the government can't do anything. Why would they fear a public option? If private enterprise can compete with the public option, no one would take the public option.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't understand. If they can't organize a one-car parade, what's the fear?
Exactly. Dave in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, it's good to talk to you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, this is a comment on health care. And first of all, I would admit that taxes would have to go up under like a single-payer program. But to use my wife and I as an example, we currently have jobs where we don't get employer-provided health insurance. So we're currently spending over $12,000 a year in health insurance premiums.
Mm.
And why would we not want to accept maybe a $6,000 or $7,000 a year tax increase to help fund an efficient, well-run, low-overhead single-payer program in order to get out from under a $12,000 a year
yes.
health insurance premium?
Thank you, thank you. That math wasn't hard at all, was it, kids? Let's go to Frank in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Frank.
Hey, yeah, I'm just calling to kind of argue with that dude that called about. Saying that people in Europe hate their health or have horrible health care. I know people in England, and they said there would be riots in the streets if they took away their health care. They love it over there. It's like a huge deal. And I remember watching crack investigative reporter Conan O'Brien when he went to Finland. He was like, one of the things that he found out was their quality of life was so high and like had high taxes. But they're like, we pay, a lot of money in taxes, but our quality of life is huge.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we pay more for health care and get less than any country in the world. How is that? I mean, you heard this one story about, the family in France, and the doctor made a house call at 10 o'clock at night.
Right. And,
and
I remember listening at NPR like 5 or 6 years ago, and they were debating whether or not national health care would save the auto industry. Well, we know where that went. So, I mean, so anyway, that's all I got. Yep.
Thank you. And there is something, I don't know what it is, Jim, there's some sort of law of attraction, but generally you always get injured on a holiday weekend.
Yes.
It's always the time when you cannot reach a doctor of any kind. Not injured, you get sick, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Let's go to, where are we here? Misty in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Misty.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi,
good
go ahead.
To have you back.
Thank you.
This country does have government-run health care, and I'm not talking about Medicaid. I'm not talking about Medicare, and I've had it before, and it's called TRICARE. And I really, really wish that as a civilian, there was a way for me to get it back.
You're in the military, uh-huh.
I was in the military, and I had a few complaints about the system, but it wasn't to do with the health care, and it wasn't to do with the way it was run.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a quick little story. I have private health insurance now through my employer, and I'm developing an ulcer because I stress entirely too much. My stomach acid is going crazy.
Yeah, me too.
And my doctor wrote me a prescription for, a serious hardcore acid neutralizer. My insurance company was like, no, just go get a bottle of Rolaids. We're not going to pay for that.
I've had that before. I have acid reflux. And, I've been through that before with insurance companies that they won't pay for certain ones or they'll only, Tums, right? Exactly.
Yeah. It's no, I'm sorry. I can't sit there and chew on a bottle of Tums every 5 minutes and go through, six bottles a day.
Yeah, listen, you're talking my language now. You need a proton pump inhibitor. I know what I'm talking about.
A what?
That's what Prevacid is. That's what I take.
Proton?
Yes, it actually turns off the pumps in your stomach, right, Misty?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a really good medicine.
It's called a proton pump?
Listen, from working with you two, I have acid reflux.
Inhibitor.
Exactly.
Wait, I make your job easier, Missy.
You make my life
a
living hell.
Your doctor might tell you to stop drinking so much wine.
That is true, because that has a lot of acid in it, Stephanie.
Well, I would simply switch doctors.
you would doctor shop.
That is a ridiculous suggestion.
You would doctor shop, wouldn't you?
I would be like, why, that is...
Computer says no.
Let's go to...
Michael Jackson doctor shopped. So did Rush Limbaugh.
Listen, I have insomnia, too, and I've thought, anesthesia seems like a good idea. Maybe I could get that. See, Michael Jackson's a perfect example of when that's God's way of telling you have too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can get a hospital anesthesia drug in your house doesn't mean that you should.
Right.
Okay, Marie in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Marie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, I am fuming.
All right.
The caller who called in and said that medical issues are not the reason for bankruptcy is completely out of his depth.
I know. Jim was like, yes, it is. It's the number one cause of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. I worked for a bankruptcy trustee, so I had a front row seat for the reasons that people file for bankruptcy. And the most heartbreaking thing that I saw in my job was older people who had worked all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have much, but they could hold their head high that they had always paid their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And usually right after they retired, when they were now on a fixed income and relying only on, you know, whatever supplemental insurance they could get and whatever Medicaid could provide, they would have some catastrophic incident, cancer, stroke, heart attack. And in a matter of a few months, everything they ever worked for evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard. The men would sit there like they would rather die than have to sit in that open courtroom for the world to see how badly their finances were ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And the women would cry,
mm-hmm.
and they'd give one-word answers to the questions that they had by law to answer.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example, Marie. They didn't ruin their finances. Our health care system ruined their finances.
The absence of one, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I cannot stress enough, we need a public option. It is an option. We can always, if you want to buy supplemental insurance to add to that option, or buy your own insurance and go to your own doctor that you love to pieces, go ahead.
Yep.
But we need something that does not ruin decent people.
Yep, absolutely. They're well said. Paul in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to this thing about people keep complaining or making these statements, I should say, about foreign health care. And I've had some experience with this because I'm a musician and I do a lot of Broadway show work. And I traveled to a lot of countries doing Broadway shows, at least I used to, but not right now. But I had a couple personal experiences, and I can compare them to my experience here in Chicago. Which is kind of recent. So my insurance goes in and out, basically depending on whether I'm doing a show, unfortunately.
Mm.
You know, I'm covered when I'm working. Otherwise,
right.
I can't afford to keep it up.
Yeah.
But and one time here in Chicago, I had to go to the emergency room. I waited 8 hours, and I had to pay $2,000 out of my own pocket. I paid it off over a year, but I paid it off. Anyway, by contrast, I got sick when I was in Tokyo. I went to the hospital emergency room. Got in right away. I spent a long time there, all day there. I got all kinds of tests, and they gave me a prescription, and they fill it while you're there. They have the pharmacy right there.
Wow.
When they gave me the bill, it was they had to charge me extra because I was a new patient. They felt bad about it. It was $35,
mm-hmm.
and they felt bad about charging me.
Man.
I was so glad to pay it.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, the one other experience
This
I
is
had,
what helps, you see, Paul, in the healthcare debate, is we have listeners that have actually been outside of their house and their city.
It's unbelievable. And one other time I was in Greece right before the Olympics, as a matter of fact, doing a show, and I got some rash, and I didn't know what it was. And I, in Greece, if, you know, a lot of people have insurance, but if they don't, they have this free system. And I did have to go and wait in line. I had to wait about 2.5 hours. But when I got in there, there was like a bevy of doctors with all this high-tech stuff, and they just gave me such an examination. It took care of me and gave me the medicine right there, and that was completely free.
Yep, absolutely. You know, that's a good idea. There's a good
socialism,
idea.
Communism! Just socialized medicine. It's terrible. It's bad. Don't
Castro, French. There's a good idea. I think we should. That would be money well spent. I think the Obama administration should send money to send every American somewhere to injure themselves so that it can actually see how the healthcare system is elsewhere.
All of John Hannity's listeners should be sent to European countries.
Or Canada.
And have something dropped on their toe
right.
so they don't have to take Sean's word for how bad the healthcare system is.
Hey, but it's supposed to be a Stalinist hellhole of communist deprivation.
Listen, I can tell you today's going to be a bad day for Mama. I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'm out of
free?
My Prevacid, and there's no refills, and that means it's going to take years and cost millions of lives to have them call the doctor, and then they got to call the insurance company. And
does this mean you're going to call in sick tomorrow again?
I think so. Because am I going to not drink wine tonight?
Computer says no.
No way. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. Voice deity Jim Ward, whose shaving injury you can also see on the
Twitter.
On Twitter.
Radio Guy Chris. Twitter.com/Radio Guy Chris.
It is epic, his injury.
Yeah.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. You can email us all there. And check out the calendar section. Mama will be in San Francisco coming up in a couple of weeks. July 25th for a girls' night out. You can check out that in the calendar section. Also, Seattle. When is that? August 8th for the town hall.
It's all in the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com.
All my other progressive buddies. Come get tickets. See Mama live in person. Also, tomorrow, I'm going to be on The Ed Show on MSNBC. I have been bumped once again to tomorrow. Because I'm not in the CIA or something. I don't know. So tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ed Show on MSNBC. All right. Meanwhile, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Lots of people talking about the economy and the stimulus, and who better than Dana Perino, who presided during the administration that handed us this delightful economy and deficit.
I think that they have some real big troubles on their hands right now, especially politically.
How'd that
back
happen?
Here in Washington, while they're in Russia and now at the G8, they've got some big problems on their hands when it comes to the economy and floating the idea of another stimulus package.
Yeah.
The health care debate.
Yeah, but I mean, you can walk and chew gum at the same
time. Yeah. Whoo! Yeah. Who started the first stimulus package that they gave to that Hank Paulson gave to all his buddies and didn't do anything and then left this giant steaming turd of an economy in a deficit?
That was Obama's fault. He should have retroactively gone back in time in a time machine and stopped him from doing that. So it's Obama's fault.
Speaking of right-wing tools,
why hasn't he fixed it yet?
Alex Katsalanos on healthcare.
If you run a grocery store and the government goes across the street and sets up a government-run grocery store, and by the way, they don't have to pay their bills. They can just ask your children to pay for it down the road in debt. How long do you think you'd be in business? How long would you think you'd have your job? That's what a government-run plan will do. That's one reason it scares me.
Yes, that's why it's so disastrous in France and Germany and Denmark and Sweden and Finland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Scary. Competition, scary. Okay.
We need to have more monopolies. How are billionaires going to become trillionaires with this government stuff? It's not fair.
It's called competition.
The president at the G8.
That it's very important for the world community to speak to countries like Iran and North Korea and encourage them to take a path that does not result in a nuclear arms race in places like the Middle East.
And sadly for all of us, Caribou Barbie, still talking.
It doesn't cost the critics anything to file frivolous lawsuits or ethics violation charges. It costs our state such a great deal. Thousands of state staff millions of dollars in public resources that aren't going to things that it should be going to, like soldiers' benefits and safer roads and teachers and troopers.
So by investigating you, we're hurting the troops.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, we're sorry. We take it all back.
Reason number 6,534 why she quit as governor, because it's for the troops.
Yeah.
Because you hate the troops if you think that it's wrong to quit in the middle of your term.
I really hope the Republicans run her in 2012.
Oh, me too. All right. If she doesn't get her own Fox News show before then, like that delightful Brian Kilmeade.
Yes, on Fox and Freaks.
Fox and Freaks in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this crunchy audio goodness sent to us by Tommy in Columbus. Take a listen here.
We keep marrying other species and other ethnics and, and other...
Are you sure you're not suffering from some of the causes of dementia right now?
The problem we're getting is the Swedes have pure genes. Because they marry other Swedes, because that's the rule. Finns marry other Finns, so they have a pure society. Mm-hmm. In America, we marry everybody. Okay. So we marry Italians and Irish.
So this study does not apply.
Does not apply to us.
Huh. Wow, we.
Springtime. So he's for eugenics.
Fox and Freaks. Hmm.
Brian Kilmeade is for eugenics. That's
we keep marrying
scary.
Other species and other ethnics.
Yeah, species and ethnics. Yeah, you know, Bigfoot.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Sweden adopted a lot of babies from Africa in the 60s and 70s. There are people from Sweden who are, in fact, black. So that kind
of
throws that.
In fact, we have an official black Swede of the Stephanie Miller Show who calls in from time to time.
You heard him. Stop marrying them other ethnics and other species, all y'alls.
Damn it. There goes my marriage to a jellyfish.
To a Swedish jellyfish.
A Swedish jellyfish.
Damn it.
I'd have to marry a Portuguese chick of war, not a man of war. That would be my preference.
Keith in Illinois on the healthcare debate. Hey, Keith.
Hi. I'm still alive, Steph, and I've lived 70 years under the healthcare scheme in England.
Wow.
I know. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yes.
And there are flocks of English people trying to come here for our healthcare. I spoke to my brother the other day, and he read from his paycheck for last month. His pay for last month was $3,600. Out of that, he pays national insurance, which covers his healthcare and his pension when he's 65, and that costs him $297 a month.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a four-person family. Everything's free, except until you get after 65, all your prescriptions are free.
Aye.
And, you know, where are all the dead bodies laying around you?
Yeah, exactly, Sean Hannity. Where are they? Ken in Gainesville, Wisconsin.
Janesville.
Pardon me. Janesville. Hello, Ken. You are a doctor.
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, on your behalf, I'm going to petition the FDA to put Prevacid in the wine so you don't have to buy it anymore.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No problem. But, you know, the head of the British National Health Service.
It's Cabernet
Service.
With new proton pump inhibitors. Go ahead, Ken.
Great campaign. Anyway, the head of the National Health Service in Britain came and spoke to our society last year and said, you know, they knew they had a problem with waiting lists for heart surgery. And from 2000 to 2003, they just addressed it and eliminated it. There's no waiting for heart surgery in Britain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, another sign of progress. Paul Ryan was talking to his doctors at the hospital yesterday. He actually spoke admiringly of the Swiss health system. So keep it up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, honey. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Mark in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I had a heart attack at 35 years old.
Jeez.
And had to go through medical bankruptcy. And I just had a doctor's appointment the other day and was talking to my doctor about the public option thing. And he made a great point that not as a lot of people are talking about. You know, for people like me who cannot get health care, I mean, absolutely just cannot get it. If I were to have another incident and have to go back to the hospital, you know, God forbid, another heart attack, my bill for like 3 or 4 days will be well over $100,000. And who do you think ends up paying that already? It trickles down to the taxpayers.
Right.
The taxpayers are the ones who absorb all this cost already anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we had the public option, it would just be a better situation.
Yep. Yep. You make a really good point. Mark, I recommend that you do not watch any more Sarah Palin on television, first of all.
I don't anyway.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Let's avoid an incident.
And
all right, Mark.
That's why we have
thank
the best health care in the world, because Sean Hannity says so.
Exactly. Let's go to Bruce in Katona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I had a couple of comments, but I wanted to first comment on this quip you played. It almost made me throw up about this, you know, opening up a public grocery store next to a paid, you know, profit mm-hmm. grocery store. Let's carry this analogy out. So in this scenario, 49 million Americans aren't allowed to go to the grocery store because they don't have grocery store shopping insurance. And if they do go to the grocery store for eggs and milk, they have to pay $500. And by the way, in this scenario, you and I and our employers would all have to pay $15,000 a year for us to have grocery insurance to be able to shop. But they'll tell us what we want to buy. You say you want to buy eggs. No. You need to buy egg beaters. We're not allowing you the eggs until you've had the egg beaters for a month. That's the worst analogy I've ever heard.
Yep.
But the two points I wanted to make earlier, one is I have health care. I have a doctor, one of the best facilities in Westchester County,
yep.
New York here. And I made an appointment last month for a physical. My appointment is November 3rd. But if I called the doctor and said, hey, you know, I've got a lump or pain or problem, they'd say, well, let me get you in tomorrow.
Yep.
That's the way it works. They're talking about lines and rationing about the optional things like this. When you have a problem anywhere in the world, you're sick, emergency care is necessary.
Yep.
They don't make you wait weeks and months waiting to see, you know, a cardiologist because you're having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a farce. The other point, more important than any of this, is nobody has health care if you've got employer-based health care.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Even the MOOCs don't.
What hospital do you go to there in Westchester?
Northern Westchester Hospital.
Okay. Yeah, I lived in Croton-on-the-Hudson, and I got Lyme disease. And so, trust me, like when you have more urgency in your voice, it's like my brain is melting. Can you see me today? Yeah, you normally can. All right. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. Let's go to Rob in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mooks. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I want to dispel this myth about our taxes going up on this health care thing. You know, I currently pay 2.5% of my salary annually just for the right of actually going in to see a doctor and then getting charged co-pays and then for medicine and everything else on top of that. So if we take that out of the equation, how are my taxes going up?
Yeah. But this last caller makes a good point that, you know, we're all paying for this anyway. Mm-hmm. People that, you know, can't afford insurance and then get sick. I mean, it's just the system is just broken.
Right. We're paying for it in the most inefficient way possible.
Exactly. Yep.
And so once we clean that up, so much money is going to be saved that we can pay for most of health care reform.
Yep. Robert in San Francisco. Hello, Robert.
Hi. You know, universal health care, the single payer, is really a great idea, but nobody really talks about what in Germany, by law, doctors must do for their patients is tell them about alternative means. Otto Warburg in the 20s discovered, and now he's the only doctor received two Nobel Prizes, the four conditions that all cancers need and to exist. And his protocol for therapeutic protocol is completely different than what evolved into the petrochemical paradigm.
Right.
And what I wanted to also say is the Open Chemical Physics report of April 2009 shows active weaponized thermite, which used nanotech stuff in the pulverized concrete, estimated 9 tons. This is a peer-reviewed report, the Open Chemical Physics report, our journal in April 2009. Stephen Jones and other scientists proved that active weaponized thermite was used. You can see the color photos and everything in this 25-page report. That means we need a new investigation to find out who blew up those towers and also help the first responders that are suffering because of this toxic material that's in their bodies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, you didn't know what he was talking about.
Yes, I did know what he was talking about.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why that's
offensive.
He slipped
that in there.
Yeah.
Okay, 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the healthcare debate as it heats up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, we had some Congress critters scheduled for today, but
yes,
they couldn't because they have votes or
whatever,
something of some sort. And however, in the meantime, our listeners and I have solved the entire healthcare crisis in America.
How is that?
So who needs them? Harumph. Slam, 1940s telephone down. I'll be on the fainting couch. Here was our latest idea.
What?
We need to spend some money to send all of Sean Hannity's listeners somewhere else.
Right.
To actually see what the healthcare system is like.
And as soon as they get off the plane, hit him in the head with a mallet or something.
Something.
And then see
yes.
how the healthcare
and then they
system
can actually, instead of taking Sean's word for it, they will find out.
Oh.
For instance, Gail with some fun facts about healthcare in England again.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the latest one, how awful things are. Hi, Steph. Right-wingers who repeat what they hear the talking heads say infuriate me. I'm sure that not one has any first-hand account on what goes on with the medical system in England. I do, having been married to a Brit for 26 years and having many friends and family in England.
Hmm.
Oh, good for you. I had a recent gallbladder surgery, was in the hospital for 2 days, cost over $10,000. My elderly friend in England had a double bypass heart surgery. They even came 30 miles to pick him up by ambulance and delivered him home. Cost? Nothing. As far as having to wait, I'm with an HMO. I have to schedule a routine checkup 15 months in advance.
Jeez.
My family in England has to wait about 2 weeks. I've never been able to understand how many so-called educated people in this country are willing to follow the party line without learning the facts. Thank you, Gail.
Which
you are
proves
the
my point
smartest girl
that
in
we
class.
Have the best health care in the world, and people in Europe, chocolate French, clock-making Belgian, homos, French, commie.
Yeah, clockmakers.
Okay. Clockmakers are all
gay. Yeah, you hate America. If you think there, if you think there might be anything wrong with our health system, you hate America and the troops. Okay, let's go to Bob in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bob.
Hello. I'm a reunited adoptee. I spent 12 years finding my birth mother, and I had a nice 16-year relationship with her. And in March, she died because she did not have health care. She waited until she turned 65 to get her issues treated because she had no insurance. She lived on Social Security, in part because she was so sick she couldn't work. And she went into the hospital, and she died 2 days later.
Aye.
And that's you know, the health care solution that Sean Hannity wants everyone in America to use. Just go in there and die.
Just die.
Yeah, just, well, that's the Republican plan.
For God's sake, just die.
Yeah, there's a, you know, Fox News on one channel talking about the horrible waiting times in Europe, and then there's video footage you can see with your own eyes of a woman dying in an emergency room who was there for several hours and died in the waiting room because no one... Okay.
For some reason, Republicans
in
just
America.
Seem to be better at propaganda than Democrats. I don't get that.
Melanie in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. You know, I just wanted to comment. Here's something you might know something about, which is tequila in Mexico. But when I went on a trip down there with my brother and we had a crazy night, he split his head open on a ceiling fan.
Ooh.
And the healthcare.
Were you
there.
By any chance at Husong's Cantina? I had a near miss with a ceiling fan at Husong's.
Oh no!
In college.
That could have been you.
They're frightening, aren't they? But
yes.
They're metal down there. Anyhow, our healthcare it did arrive in a UW bus, and it did take him to some back room somewhere. But he got his head stitched up, and it only cost us the money that we could dig out of our pockets, which was, you know, roughly a couple hundred dollars. So, you know, that's Mexican health care. He's alive. He's got a big scar, but, you know, he got treated right away, and we had more tequila after that, and it was great. So.
Oh, God bless Ensenada. All right, let's go.
we always went to Puerto Peñasco. That was the closest one, party town in Mexico to Phoenix. Yeah.
Andy in Dallas. Hey, Andy.
Hey, I am definitely a rare breed here. I am not only a truck driver, but I am a Texas liberal, and I'm proud of it.
Are you Jim Hightower?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty proud. But anyways, I'll get to my point. I was talking to my bosses and everything because we're shopping around for new health care, and I just recently got married, and so they said that that's a changing event, so we could sign up for new health care, but they advised me to wait because of all this, and it's so much paperwork, which is something else nobody's talking about. It's really hurting the environment with all this extra paperwork.
Yeah.
But which is, you know, nobody's good time. But it's
all right, honey. Hold on that thought. We'll hear the rest of your stories. We continue on the healthcare debate on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Could you turn on the public access channel?
Stephanie Miller.
He's gonna be on.
Oh, great! Even the old and boring get on before me.
Ha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What was the thing we learned before the break?
What?
Long stories and hard breaks don't go together.
That's right.
Andy in Dallas, the official truck-driving Texas liberal of the Stephanie Miller Show. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show again. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's weird with... I'm a Texas liberal, and my bosses are conservative. I'm in the truck driving industry, and we're shopping for new insurance, and they turned to me a while ago, being the only Obama supporter in the office, and they looked at me, and they go, can't believe I'm going to say this, but if your boy gets his way, we'd be able to hire more people and give you a raise, and that's what we'd be doing if this was France or Sweden. And then they walked away like they had just eaten soap or something. Couldn't believe they said it, but it was really refreshing to hear them.
I'm sorry, I didn't get much past your boy on that story, but...
Wow.
They think it's okay to refer to the president as your... All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that story. Mm. Let's go to Robert in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Robert.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I am a healthcare provider and a small business owner, and I tell you, a
a public option would be the trifecta for me. It first of all, we'd only pay, you know, I'd gladly pay a 7% payroll tax rather than paying 20%
mm-hmm.
off my bottom line, you know, for healthcare benefits. So that saves me 13% right there. I'd be able to recruit employees much more easily, because right now I can't provide benefits for my staff.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's why this other caller, it's like, well, what, with the economy like this? It's like, that's partially why the economy
right.
is like this, because of the healthcare system. Or then when they say, well, we can't afford it. We're paying for it anyway. We're paying mm-hmm. for the uninsured now.
And another thing is the government pays on time. You know, I bill out to Medicaid,
uh-huh.
and they pay on time, and they pay correctly. They don't BS you around with these stupid technical denials over stupid little things. And the private insurance companies, it's basically you get what you get and you're happy for it. Seriously, that's how they behave with you to try to appeal a benefit. You wouldn't believe what we go through, and the government is much more reasonable when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Paul in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
This is something that all Democrats should be aware of, especially the president and the Democrats in the Senate. There was a study that I heard about 6 months ago.
Yep.
The political party that wins national health care, this is in other countries, for example, in Europe, that wins national health care for its populace gets rewarded for by loyalty at the polls for generations. Or at least for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And every Democrat who takes money from an insurance company should bear this in mind. They can just say no to to Big Pharma, no to Aetna, and just say, you know, I'm going to go out and campaign on the vote that I cast for the public plan or for national health care.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the problem. I try to stay positive about the health care thing, but...
It's hard to.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because even Democrats are poo-pooing it.
Right, because there's so much money being thrown around by
exactly.
the insurance companies.
What was it, like a 1-point-something million dollars a day being spent by the
mm-hmm.
Insurance
mm-hmm.
companies to fight this?
Mm-hmm.
How are they making that much profit?
It's because they're denying coverage to people who really need it.
Yeah, if ever we needed a revolution, you say, and I say, I want a revolution on health care.
Say you want
yeah.
a revolution.
Yeah, now is the time for pitchforks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, breaking up.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
News. The sex scandal engulfing Senator John Ensign has deepened now that his former mistress husband has revealed new details about the relationship, saying the Nevada Republican paid the woman more than $225,000 in severance when she stopped working for him.
Oh, boy.
Doug Hampton also provided a letter to the Las Vegas Sun that was written by Ensign to his wife, Cindy, saying, among other things, I used you for my own pleasure.
Oh,
isn't it romantic?
That is so romantic. Hampton said in the interview that attorneys for the men have been in negotiations over millions in possible payments from Senator Ensign. Ensign, through his spokesman, has refused to answer questions on whether any payments have been made. So this just gets some. Another way too much information about from a Republican adulterer, in my opinion.
Right.
Oh, meanwhile, as you know, the party of family values, moral values, is against the gay marriage.
Yes.
Could you take out your wedding organ for me, please, Chris?
Sure.
Massachusetts, the first state to legalize gay marriage, has sued the U.S. government over a federal law, over DOMA.
Yep.
That defines marriages between a man and a woman. The DOMA interferes with the right of Massachusetts to define and regulate marriage as it sees fit. The lawsuit argues the act constitutes an overreaching and discriminatory federal law. It says the 16,000 same-sex couples who have married in Massachusetts are being unfairly denied federal
yeah.
benefits given to heterosexual couples. They are entitled to equal treatment under the laws regardless of whether they are gay or straight.
What?
According to
That's crazy.
That's a very smart lawsuit, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oh, and apparently gay marriage foes in Maine yesterday got the necessary number of signatures on a petition to get an initiative on the ballot to re-ban gay marriage in Maine.
You won't be able to get there from here anymore.
So that's a little bit of bad news, but hopefully that can be fought and won.
Hopefully. Lawrence in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steph and gentlemen. I retired from the Army Reserve as a colonel, and our son is an active duty major. I find it interesting that both my son and I are covered by the socialistic, communistic government health care programs, and yet, you know, it's fine for the military to have these evil types of health care programs, and yet the Republicans say, oh, that's socialistic, that's going to cause devastation, we can't have that. But it's okay for the warriors.
Yeah, well, and you know, Medicare, Medicaid, I mean, we're just, you know.
So Joe McCarthy was right. The Army's full of communists.
Tee-hee-hee. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, the one thing real quick on this health care thing is the willingness of the Republicans to sell empty talking points that hurt people about that stuff. My niece was born in England.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of care they got was amazing because I was over there to see, you know, after she was born, and I talked to the nurse. They had 3 home visits from a nurse practitioner, you know, to make sure it's doing okay. And I said, why are you doing this? And she looked at me and laughed. She goes, well, unlike Americans, we know it's cheaper to take care of them in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and it made so much sense. My brother, he tore his Achilles tendon. Bam, he's in the hospital taken care of. Thank you very much. You know, they're selling empty talking points and
yep.
stuff.
Yep, I know. That's the problem is apparently listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have actually been places and seen
yes,
stuff.
Where yeah. the healthcare is actually caring for people who have health issues rather than making insurance companies rich.
Wow, we actually have some smart and well-traveled listeners.
Mm. Dan in Springfield.
How'd
they're,
that happen?
Well, they're anti-American that way.
Oh, okay.
Dan in Springfield.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I have a funny health care story for you, if there's such a thing. A couple of years ago, I had a kidney stone, which you probably know is just catastrophically painful.
Mm. Ouch.
And, yeah, very ouch. I went to the hospital, sat in the ER reception room for half an hour, literally screaming in agony while the nurse behind the desk was on the telephone chatting. And then when I get into the ER and they diagnose it, I was told by the ER nurse that eventually I should not work because eventually it would come out my uterus.
Ooh. Your uterus.
Oh.
Oh,
I didn't know I
God.
Had one of those.
She skipped a day in class,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, I figured they put in the wrong organ or
oh
something.
Oh, my God.
That's what I was told.
yeah, exactly.
It'll come out your uterus.
Yeah. Great.
All right, then.
All right. Let's go to Barry.
Did you go to med school at all? Read a book ever?
Did you have any training of any sort
Pamphlet?
For this job? Barry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie and gentlemen. I was born in Ireland, and my brother, I lived here with my brother lived here, most of my family, for over 20 years, 25 years. My brother had cancer, and it was terminal. He couldn't get any he was unemployed, had no insurance, and he couldn't get any help at all whatsoever. But his children were going to university in Ireland. They had scholarships, fortunately. So he wanted to be with his family, and my mom is still there. He went to Ireland to die. When he got to the airport, he was in pain. The doctors wouldn't even had only given him 8 pills for the plane flight to get there. He as soon as he arrived at the airport, my mom told him that her family doctor had medication for him. The only thing she needed to do was to see his charts, etc. He was given medication straight away. He was hospitalized for a couple of days to drain fluid. He was never asked one time, was he an American or an Irish citizen at any time.
Mm.
He got medication. He had his own private room.
Wow.
He was transferred from one hospital right across the country in an ambulance without having to pay for anything. And he subsequently died over there. And the same thing, my mom is now in care because she's got the onset of Alzheimer's. She's in a private nursing home there's only 5 rooms in this nursing home.
Yeah, I mean, we've had stories like yours all morning, and if you don't think there's something wrong here in America when you hear these stories with our healthcare system, then you're nuts.
Of course, what Sean Hannity would get out of the stories.
Oh, but see, he died. He went to socialist, communist Ireland and
killed
died.
Him. Socialism killed him in Ireland. That's my point. I rest my case. Okay.
The system in Ireland is hardly socialism. Good Lord.
How about the guy with the kidney stone story? I mean, seriously, there's only one way to get quick service in an emergency room here in America, and that is to bring Shirley MacLaine with you.
Give my daughter the pain shot. Please, I don't see why she has to have this pain. It's time for her shot. You understand? Do something. All she has to do is hold on until 10, and it's past 10. She's in pain. My daughter is in pain. Give her the shot. You understand?
You're going
to give my daughter the shot.
44.
It works.
Minutes after the hour. Well, saying not everyone, all of us have access to Shirley MacLaine. I do. I have her cell phone number. I live here in L.A.
Actually, she lives in Santa Fe.
Yeah. I can go pick her up.
Okay.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, a lot of terrific stories about the healthcare debate this morning. But, you know, if someone, we're in the thick of things, what's actually going to happen in healthcare in America? Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of New York, it's Representative Elliot Engel.
What? Fresh out of 47 votes in a row. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
What?
I'm happy to be here. We just had about 13 votes, mostly on Republican mischievous motions to add amendments or take away things on the agriculture bill.
Oh, wow. Fabulous. Just more obstructionist nonsense. Good.
Well, if you know, they have to be something more than the party of no, so they're now the party of no and the party of obstruction.
They're adding something to their repertoire.
Right, right.
Congressman, we obviously, like a lot of people, have been talking about healthcare a lot this morning. Because honestly, people are starting to get a little bit losing hope that we are going to get meaningful health care reform with a public option. What do you think?
No, I would tell them not to lose hope because people like me and many others are fighting for the public option. You know, I'm for a single-payer plan if I could have my way, but we don't have the votes for that. So,
Can I just say, Representative, because you haven't had a chance to listen, we've had story after story this morning of, people that have actually lived in European countries or know people that do or have relatives that do that have story after story of how great their healthcare system is, you know, have not taken Sean Hannity's word for it, but have actually been there. And there is something fundamentally wrong, you know, with those kind of stories and the kind of nightmare stories we have here in America about healthcare.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, administrative costs eat up anywhere from 8 to 12% of healthcare costs. And if we had a single payer plan, it would be 1%. It's just ludicrous. But we don't have the votes. There are all these horror stories. I think the opposition has done a good job. And now they're trying to kill the public option. But there are a number of people, like myself and Lois Capps of California and others, who are demanding that the option, that the bill contain a public option. And we have said that if it does not happen, we're not going to vote for the bill. And a number of us feel very, very strongly about that. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident. I'm on the health subcommittee of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the main committee or the first committee of jurisdiction. And, we intend, as of now, of course, the bill does have a strong public option and other good things in the bill as well.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but, Senator Snow, the Republican from Maine yesterday, said, I think we need to just take the public option off the table and look for other options. It's like, what? So what 75% of the American people are for, we should just take that off the table.
Right. And we're also not for a trigger mechanism. I don't know if you've discussed that this morning.
Yeah.
But Rahm Emanuel had mentioned that, and a lot of us went nuts. So when he came to our caucus, we were very clear. And he was very clear. He said that the president supports a public option. The president says that it's needed in order to keep costs down, because if you just have insurance companies competing against each other, they'll jack the costs up. But if you have the public option, and I feel very strongly that option ought to be tied to Medicare or something like that. So if we don't have providers opting in, we at least could have the Medicare option. It's very important to do that.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, let's talk about the economy and the stimulus. Obviously, you know, a lot of discussion on that, on whether a second one is going to be needed. Certainly a lot of people are thinking that Paul Krugman may have been right, that we needed a bigger one in the first place. But, you know, the fact is we've still only spent about, 10% of this?
Yes. And of course, a lot of us are dissatisfied. Let me speak for myself. I voted for the stimulus. I would be supportive of another one if we needed it. But, you know, we need to spend the first stimulus, and we need to know, you know, where the money's going to. You know, a lot of us voted for the TARP money initially back in the bad old Bush days and at the end of last year. And, you know, we thought the money was going to go for certain things, and we found out it wasn't. And so a lot of people are very wary about voting for another stimulus package unless we're guaranteed that we know where the money's going. I mean, I personally would prefer some kind of public works program like we had in the FDR days, so money gets directly into putting people back to work. As you know, Stephanie, we have the unemployment rates rising like crazy. In minority communities, it's double what it is in the national average, and we need to get the money into those communities to put people back to work and to really stimulate the economy.
Yep. Absolutely, I agree. How long, in your opinion, Congressman, do we need to give this? How long will it take to spend all this money so we have some reasonable idea if it's had any effect?
Well, I think that we should spend it as soon as possible. You know, the problem is we are, as you know, doing the health care bill. We've passed the energy bill with cap and trade. That also came out of my committee, Energy and Commerce, and the Energy Subcommittee, of which I'm also a member. It wasn't a perfect bill. There are lots of things I would change if I had my druthers in energy, but we passed it, and we're hoping that the health care bill will be able to pass before the August recess, or by the end of this month, we're hoping to pass that as well. Our opponents, you know, rant and rave about the cost, and the cost of the energy bill, the cost of the health care bill. They're saying it will bring added cost to the taxpayers, and so it's difficult politically to do another stimulus bill when you're being beaten up for doing this energy bill and the health care bill, which are so important, as is another stimulus bill if we can see that it really stimulates the economy. So I don't see us doing a second stimulus bill, at least till the time we get back after Labor Day, and then who knows? I think mm-hmm. It depends on what the climate is in terms of unemployment and other things. But I don't run away from the stimulus bill. I think if we need it, we need it. And as the president has said, the very nature of a stimulus bill is to stimulate. So it's not paid for because you're stimulating. And after the economy comes back, you know, then you worry about paying for it. Right now, we need to get the economy moving again.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I love Mary Madeline actually went on TV yesterday and it said the president caused this entire deficit that we have now in less than 6 months, apparently.
You know, it's such a joke. I was saying to someone the other day that the Republican Party has been reduced to being the party of no, being the party of ranting and raving and lecturing everybody about fiscal responsibility. They have some nerve, given their record over the Bush years of fiscal responsibility. And then, you know, when everything else fails, yell, illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants are going to benefit from the energy bill. They're going to benefit from the health care bill. I mean, that's what they're reduced to. It's really pathetic.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, we appreciate you taking time from your 47 and a half votes in a row.
we had a record last week. At least I saw I was part of history. We had 52
wow.
votes in a row, and someone sneezed. I turned my head, and I missed one of the 52.
Congressman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes, doing the more important work for the American people, being on the Stephanie Miller Show. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow.